Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 19 March, 2026, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3rd John. 3rd John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we fellowship with you through the study of your word this evening, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have the update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas March 18th report. We had an excellent Bible class today. The ladies and I listened to the last half of lesson number 4 on Psalm 23. And we got to see David kill Goliath. Boy, you are so lucky. I would have liked to have seen David kill Goliath. We got to see David kill Goliath, and that the real victory went to the Lord Jesus Christ. In that national crisis for Israel, David was the only one that had enough Bible doctrine in his soul to understand and meet the crisis. Also, that just because you have read Psalm 23, and maybe some of you have even memorized it and you can recite it, that does not necessarily mean that you know or love the shepherd. Our one true shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn that David was a noble and honorable shepherd and king, and that he served as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the noble shepherd and the King of all kings. Thank you for your prayers. They are greatly appreciated. And the ladies are so thankful for this Bible study. And this is Daria filled in for Rich Blair yesterday. Thank you very much. All right. 3rd John. There's only 15 verses, and we've been in it 5 years. No, not only 15 verses, And we might even finish tonight. But it's one of the most unique and special letters in the Word of God. In the first 8 verses, we meet a believer named Gaius. And Gaius is the best of the best. And that's verses 1 through 8. So let's take a look at the corrected translation of verses 1 through 8. Starts out the old man. It's not because he's old, it's because he's the commander. And this is the Apostle John. The old man, the Apostle John, the commander, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of, now, here is the key word for 3 John. Aletheia. A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. John uses this word 6 times. 6 times in this epistle. And what he's doing, the spotlight on 3 John is aletheia. What does aletheia mean? It means absolute truth. In John 14:6, Jesus Christ declared, I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life, and no one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Jesus Christ is aletheia, absolute truth. And then our Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer to the Father said, Father, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. So Jesus Christ is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. And the Apostle John uses aletheia 6 times in this little epistle. So he says, the old man, the Apostle John, the commander to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth. Verse 2, dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. Verse 3, for I was exceedingly happy, great plus H, great self-contained happiness in his soul, when fellow believers came and bore witness to your aletheia, your absolute truth, namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Verse 4. I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is, to keep on hearing that my students are walking, living the spiritual life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Beloved, you, Gaius, are habitually acting faithfully, reliably, in whatever you have accomplished for the brethren, fellow members of the royal family, and especially when they are strangers that come to you as missionaries. Verse 6, who, the brethren and strangers of verse 5, have testified about your virtue love, specifically, impersonal love for all, before the church. And that's John's local church in Ephesus. You will continue to do honorably when you help them. Help them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Verse 7. For on behalf of the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, they went out as missionaries, accepting nothing from unbelievers. Therefore, we as believers ought to support such persons as these missionaries for the purpose that we might become fellow workers for the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. So there we have, in 8 verses, John uses aletheia 5 times in these 8 verses, but he's going to use it again. Now when we finish with the best of the best, Gaius, then verses 9 through 11, we had the worst of the worst, Diotrephes. And aletheia is not found with Diotrephes. Not found with the worst of the worst. With the best of the best, yes. Not the worst of the worst. Verse 9. I have written something, a doctrinal letter, to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, does not accept our authority. He doesn't accept the authority of the Apostle John or what the Apostle John teaches or any other sound doctrinal teacher teaches. Verse 10. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, I will call attention to his deeds, which he is doing, slandering and maligning us with evil words. And because he is not satisfied with these things, he's suffering from the arrogance of unhappiness. And because he is not satisfied with these things, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, that is, sound communicators of the Word of God, other pastors or missionaries or evangelists, and he prevents and forbids those believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he throws them out of the church. Verse 11, beloved, royal family, do not imitate, do not follow what is evil. What Diotrephes is doing is evil. But follow, imitate what is intrinsically good. That's Gaius, verses 1 through 8. The one who does good is from God, in the sense of representing God. The one who does evil absolutely does not understand God. You will never be able to understand God's purpose for keeping you alive here in planet Earth with logistical grace if you are walking in evil. To be ignorant of God's plan is to fail to fulfill God's plan. And to fail to fulfill God's plan is the guarantee of divine discipline in your life. And when the Lord disciplines you for your living out of fellowship with him, living by the lust patterns of your sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system, when he disciplines you, it's because he loves you with infinite virtue love. And he doesn't want to see you crash and burn. God wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. His plan is to bless you. He does not want to see any of the royal family of God crash and burn from their bad decisions and being ignorant of the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. So when you come under divine discipline, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. So to fail to fulfill God's plan is the guarantee of divine discipline. A miserable life that if you continue to walk down that path will be terminated by the sin unto death. No one is more miserable in this life than the believer who does evil and who does not understand God. The two basic systems of doing evil in our context are, first of all, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, and secondly, rejection of aletheia, rejection of the absolute truth of the Word of God. And when you do that, you will go through 8 stages of reversionism. And the first stage of reversionism is you react. And there's a lot of things that you react. You might come to church and the pastor says something and you react. Oh! And you react, you say, that's it. And that distracts you from the teaching of the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's the first stage, reaction and distraction. The second stage is then you go on how you think you can be happy. A frantic search for happiness. And you try this and that and the other thing. Frantic search for happiness. But guess what? The third stage is Operation Boomerang. Now, you know what a boomerang does? Sure you do. You throw it. You're on a frantic search for happiness. Whew. You're doing this and that and the other, trying to be happy. But it comes back and nails you right between the eyes. And you're more frustrated and more miserable than you were when you went on the frantic search for happiness. That's Operation Boomerang. Stage 4, then you get into the emotional revolt of the soul. Stage 5, locked in negative volition toward the Word of God. Stage 6, blackout of the soul. Stage 7, scar tissue of the soul. Stage 8, reverse process reversionism. So that's the worst of the worst. Diotrephes, verses 9 through 11. That brings us to verse 12. And verse 12, we have pastor-teacher Demetrius in verse 12. Demetrius is a student of the Apostle John. He's in the Apostle John's church in Ephesus. Demetrius has the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And the Apostle John has highly recommended Demetrius to be the pastor of this church that he's writing to. And we don't know exactly where this church is that he's sending this to, but he highly recommends Demetrius to become the pastor of this church. The Apostle John highly recommends Demetrius to be the next pastor of the church, and he recommends Gaius to be the head of the board of deacons. Now, we haven't exegeted the whole verse, verse 12, but we have exegeted a large portion of it. This is what we have so far. Verse 12. With reference to Demetrius, he has been recommended and approved by all. All being everyone in the Apostle John's congregation. And here's the sixth use of aletheia, and by the aletheia, by the absolute truth of the Word of God itself. And that's as far as we've gotten in our exegesis. Demetrius has the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And the Apostle John has let Demetrius teach some classes in his church in Ephesus. And Demetrius teaches aletheia. Aletheia. He teaches absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And therefore, Demetrius is recommended and approved by the absolute truth of the Word of God itself. Demetrius is qualified to be a pastor anywhere. Demetrius is faithful to keep on studying and teaching, studying and teaching, studying and teaching the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. So once again, verse 12, with reference to Demetrius, he has been recommended and approved by all, everyone in the Apostle John's congregation, and by the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God itself. Now we go on with our exegesis of verse 12. And, of course, we always start with the King James, and the King James starts out with, yay! That's a King James translation, but that's not the... Now, if you were playing March Madness and your team won, you said, yay! If you had High Point beating Wisconsin, you went, yay, yay, yay! Did you have High Point? I know the only, you bet Houston. Arizona. Whoa. What are you doing with the Earl Campbell shirt on then? I mean. But I'll tell you, if Houston can't beat Idaho, they're in trouble. But be careful. High Point beat Wisconsin. And VCU, what does that stand for? All right, you check it out. VCU beat North Carolina. Wisconsin, big boy Wisconsin. North Carolina, big boy in the ACC. Big Ten, ACC, gone. High Point and VCU. The championship game will be between High Point and VCU. So we start out with, yay! And we also bear witness. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the conjunction de plus the present active indicative of martureo repeated. The conjunction de is, now this is the emphatic use of de. Looks like that in the Greek, de, but it's the emphatic use of de, and it may be translated certainly, or indeed, or verily, or really, or in fact. That's how it should be translated. We'll translate it in fact. And then we have the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, we, and we refers to the Apostle John as well as all sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God. And then we have the conjunction chi, and this is the adjunctive use of chi. And I don't put it up here if it's a connective chi, but this is not. This is the adjunctive use of chi, and it's correctly translated also. And then we have the verb martureo repeated. Looks like that in the Greek. Martureo, M-A-R-T-U-R-E. Long O, martureo. And martureo is correctly translated, we also testify favorably. We also recommend. We also approve of. In fact, We also recommend, approve, and testify. And then we have, and ye know that our witness is true. This is the conjunction chi plus the verb oida with the conjunction hati plus the nominative singular of marturia, the noun from martureo, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, and the adjective alethes. Now, this time, the conjunction chi is a connective chi, and is correctly translated and. And then we have our old friend we've seen many, many times, oida. Oida. O-I-D-A. Oida. And oida, excuse me, oida is a frozen form. You wouldn't know it in Las Vegas, where we're getting up in the almost 100 degrees, but here's a frozen form. Oida is a frozen form. It's a perfect that's used as a present. You have learned in the past that the Apostle John's witness is true, with the result that you know now in the present that his testimony about Demetrius is true. The conjunction ha-ti, when used after verbs of decendi, and oida is a verb of decendi, knowing, introduces an object clause and should be correctly translated that. Ha-ti introduces what these believers know. And then we have ha, marturia, hemon. Marturia is the noun from martureo. It means testimony, with the genitive plural of ego, our testimony. And then the to-be verb eimi, and it's a present tense, linear action sart. Linear action sart. So here we have the to-be verb eimi, E-I-M-I. Present tense is linear action sart. You would graph it just like that. And correctly translated, keeps on being. Keeps on being alethes. A-L, long E-T-H, long E-S. Alethes. And alethes means truthful, it means righteous, it means honest, it means true. Truthful, righteous, honest, true. Corrected translation. And you know that our testimony keeps on being true, honest. So, our verse now, verse 12, sounds like this about Demetrius. With reference to Demetrius, he has been recommended and approved by all, everyone in the Apostle John's congregation. And by the absolute truth, the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God itself. In fact, we also recommend, approve, testify, and you know that our testimony keeps on being true and honest. Now that brings us to the epilogue. The end of 3 John. Now, if you have a King James Bible, you have two verses, 13 and 14, in the epilogue. If you have a Koine Greek New Testament there in your lap, you recognize that there are three verses, 13, 14, and 15. Well, I teach from the God-breathed original languages. So we have three verses here, 13, 14, and 15. Verse 13, I had many things to write. This is the imperfect active indicative of the verb echo, plus the accusative plural of the adjective polus, plus the aorist active infinitive of the verb grapho, plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun su. We start out with the verb echo. E-C-H long O. Echo. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally. Literally, echo means to have and to hold something. To hold something in your hands, and therefore to possess something. That's literally. However, point two, Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, pages 333 and 334, tells us that in our verse, echo means, first of all, to have the possibility, it can mean that you can do something. Secondly, can do something. Third, that you are able to do something, to be able to do something. And fourth, to be in a position to do something. To have the possibility, can do something, to be able to do something, to be in a position to do something. Three. The imperfect tense of echo is called a voluntative imperfect. A voluntative imperfect. Sometimes it's also called the conative imperfect, and other times it's called the tendential imperfect, but it's all communicating the same thing. So we have a voluntative imperfect of echo. Four, this use of the imperfect suggests that the subject, who is the Apostle John, that the subject, John, would have liked to do something. He would have liked to do something, or he attempted to do something, or he could almost have done something. That's the voluntative imperfect. Five, the adjective polus is used as a noun. That's called a substantive when an adjective is used as a noun. And the adjective polus is used as a noun, and it means many things. Many things. Six, the Apostle John had many things that he would have liked to have written. He has many things that he would have liked to have written. Voluntative imperfect of echo with the aorist active infinitive of the verb grapho to write. So the Apostle John had many things that he would have liked to have written. Seven, John wanted to write other things, but under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the awareness that if he writes these things, it becomes a part of the canon of Scripture, he stops right here. There's a lot of things he'd like to talk to with Gaius about, but it's not to be a part of the canon of the God-breathed Scriptures. And so he stops. So John wanted to write other things, but under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the awareness that this it would be a part of the canon of Scripture, he stops right here. The dative singular of the personal pronoun su is to you, and you is to Gaius. This letter, 3 John, was written to Gaius. So corrected translation. I, Apostle John, had many things that I would have liked to have written to you, Gaius, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. This is the conjunction Allah plus the present active indicative of the verb thelo with the objective negative u plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular melos and kalamos joined together with the conjunction kai. And the present active infinitive of our verb grapho repeated plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun su. Now, Allah, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. A-L-L-A, Allah, strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated, but, and Allah sets up a contrast between one, what is to be a part of the content of the Bible, and what is not to be a part of the canon of sacred scripture. So Allah sets up a contrast between, one, what is to be a part of the content of the Bible, with what is not to be a part of the canon of sacred scripture. And secondly, it sets up a contrast between those things that are pertinent to this local church with those many things that are not. Secondly, it sets up a contrast with those things that are pertinent to this local church with those many things that are not. And then we have what they do down in Texas all the time. Thelo. T-H-E-L-O. They thelo down there in Texas. And then you got idiots in California, governor, that trying to get everybody make oil illegal. Illegal to drive a car that uses gas. This idiot governor wants everyone to drive an electric vehicle. I will never, ever, ever drive an electric vehicle. Now I have a Hummer. It's a gas-operated Hummer. Parked right outside that door. One day I went out and this young guy walking by, he goes, hey, see that? I said, what, that Hummer? Yeah, he's destroying this planet. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard come out of the orifice on the phrase by any Homo sapien biped ever since I've been here on planet Earth. That's my Hummer and I'm not going to destroy this planet. You're an idiot. The only one who's going to destroy this planet is the one who created it. Jesus Christ created it, and Jesus Christ will get rid of it and then create a new heavens and a new earth. But I'm not God, and my Hummer's not God either. My Hummer has 360,000 miles on it. 360,000 miles. And I get people, how do you like it? I love it. 360,000 miles, I love it. And when I go in and get it worked on. There's a guy in this city, he's an expert on Hummers. When I go in, they ask me, you want to trade it in for an electric one? Well, do you know where the electric ones are made? Do you all know? China. I wouldn't get anything from China. Nothing. When I go Christmas shopping, it's hard to get things for Deb now because everything from China. It's hard to get things made in America. Clothes, almost all the clothes. I won't buy any clothes for... I'm not going to put any Chinese clothes on Deb. She's going to wear American clothes or maybe Filipino. Guam is all right, too. I don't know. I have never found any clothes from Guam, but... No, I said, they're made in China. I wouldn't buy anything. Look what, I mean, after all, China, it's so nice. They gave us COVID. Why in the hell would I want to get an electric Hummer made by them? So all of this is free of charge. So we have fellow. One. Fellow means to wish, to desire, to want, to purpose. To wish, to desire, to want, to purpose. Two, with the objective negative ooh, it means I do not wish, I do not purpose. Three, the Apostle John, under the guidance of God the Holy Spirit, performs the action of not wishing to write these many things with pen and ink. The Apostle John, under the guidance of God the Holy Spirit, performs the action of not wishing to write these many things with pen and ink. Four, these are many things that John does not purpose to become a part of the canon of Scripture. These are many things that John does not purpose to become a part of the canon of Scripture. Present active infinitive of the verb grapho, I do not wish to be writing. I do not wish to be writing, and then the preposition dia plus the genitive is the preposition of means, instrument, or agency. It may be correctly translated by means of, or through, or with. And then we have the object of the preposition, the genitive singular melos and kalamos. Melos. Bear with me. I am scheduled for surgery in April, and they're going to do a Jiffy knee job on me. Looking forward to that. That's coming up here in a couple of weeks. Going through all these tests. We have here melos. So I have a little bit of trouble going from here to here. That tells you you need a new knee. M-E-L-A-S. Melos. And melos is the word that means black. It literally means black, and it refers to ink. And then with melos, black or ink, we have kalamos. Kalamos, K-A-L-A-M-O-S, kalamos. And kalamos is the word for a pen. Or their pens were made out of reed, so meant a reed or a pen. Corrected translation, I, Apostle John, had many things that I would have liked to have written to you, Gaius, but I do not wish to be writing them to you with pen and ink. Then he goes on, verse 14. But I trust that I shall shortly see thee. He's going to come and spend some time with Gaius. He loves Gaius. Gaius, he has great virtue love for Gaius, and they're great friends. They have it's great friendship love. And he's looking forward to spending some time face to face with Gaius. So this is the post-positive conjunction de plus the present active indicative of elpizo plus the aorist active infinitive of horao plus the adverb eltheos and the accusative singular personal pronoun su. The post-positive conjunction de is the conjunction of contrast, correctly translated but, and then we have elpizo. Elpizo. Looks like that in the Greek, E-L-P-I-Z, long O. Elpizo. Couple of things. One, elpizo means to hope, or to hope for, or to expect. And the Apostle John expects to come and visit Gaius. To expect, to foresee. Two, elpizo also means to trust, to have confidence in something. To trust, to have confidence in something. Three, the Apostle John hopes to horao eltheos, Gaius. And horao means to see, eltheos means at once, immediately, quickly, shortly. So he says, but I hope to see you, Gaius, very shortly. And then he says, and we shall speak face to face. This is the conjunction chi plus the future active indicative of laleo plus stoma with the preposition pros plus stoma repeated. The conjunction chi is the connective chi and then we have the verb laleo. L-A-L-E, long O, laleo. Couple of things. One, laleo is the most basic verb in the Koine Greek for communication. The most basic verb for communication, laleo. Two, laleo means to speak. It means to carry on a conversation. To speak or to carry on a conversation. It's sad today, but carrying on a conversation has gone. Now, Deb and I, we love. I have classes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Sunday. That leaves Monday night and Friday night that Deb doesn't have to cook dinner. We go out. We go out for dinner, and there's some great restaurants we go to. We go out for dinner, and we talk. We talk. We have the most fun, the two of us, husband and wife, talking, enjoying one another. And we look around, and nobody's talking. They're all. The husband is doing this. The wife is doing this. Neither one of them say one word. There's. Deb and I, we're talking. Now, sometimes there's people there that are having birthdays. And they start saying, and I hate that way. Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I think that is the stupidest thing ever. Happy birthday. So when they get to the very end, they're going, happy birthday. I go, happy birthday to you! And they turn around, yeah. Then they come up to the table, thank you for singing happy birthday. They, sure. I just couldn't stand that little happy birthday. But it's just great to communicate, to converse, to talk. Reveal your soul to your friend, to your wife, to your husband, to reveal your soul. And that is amazing, absolutely amazing. But it's kind of gone today. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as all these iPhones and everything. Nobody had them when I went to school. But now that's all you have in classrooms anymore. That's sad. So lalao is a basic verb for communication. And it means to speak, to carry on a conversation. A conversation from soul to soul. 3. And we have stoma prostoma. Stoma prostoma. S-T-O-M-A, and then pros is the preposition, P-R-O-S, and then S-T-O-M-A, repeated. Now, stoma is the word mouth. Mouth. This literally says mouth to mouth. It's an idiom that means face to face. And the Apostle John can't wait to see Gaius. They have a fantastic friendship. To be with Gaius face to face and have this great conversation from the soul of Gaius, full of absolute truth, aletheia, and the soul of John, filled with absolute truth, aletheia. John's looking forward to that. So 4... the Apostle John is looking forward to seeing Gaius and spend some great time in fellowship with him. The Apostle John is looking forward to seeing Gaius and spending some great time in fellowship with him. 5. John is looking forward to have some great social life and friendship love with Gaius. He's looking forward to have some great social life and friendship love with Gaius. So the corrected translation, but I hope to see you shortly and we will carry on a conversation face to face. And then the last verse, verse 15, King James says, peace be to thee. And then we have in the King James, our friends greet thee. This is the noun eirene, plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun su, plus the nominative plural of philos with the definite article, plus the present middle indicative of aspazomai with the accusative singular of the personal pronoun su. Eirene. Great, great word in the Greek, and it has an equivalent in the Hebrew, shalom. E-I-R, long E, N, long E, eirene. And it, yes, it's literally translated peace, and there's a few places that refers to peace, world peace from war, but number point 2, eirene, most of the time refers to prosperity and blessing in its widest sense. Prosperity and blessing in its widest sense. In fact, 3, eirene, is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew term shalom. Shalom, S-H-A-L, long O-M, shalom. And they're equivalents. Shalom and eirene are perfect equivalents. And it also means prosperity and blessing in its widest sense. The dative single of the personal pronoun su is you, referring to Gaius. Prosperity and blessing in its widest sense to you, Gaius. Prosperity and blessing to you, Gaius. And the King James Version says, our friends greet thee. Wrong. There is no word our in the Greek. We simply have hoi phalloi, that is, the friends ospodzomai. A-S-P-A-Z-O-M-A-I, ospodzomai. And ospodzomai means to greet. It means to salute. To greet, to salute. Prosperity and blessing in its widest sense to you, Gaius. The friends salute you. And then the King James has, greet the friends by name. And this is the present middle imperative of ospodzomai repeated, plus the plural of philos with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase kata with the noun onoma. Once again, ospodzomai means to greet, to salute. This time, ospodzomai is in the imperative mood. Imperative. And the imperative of ospodzomai is called the imperative of entreaty. Imperative of entreaty. In other words, 1, the imperative of entreaty is a polite command. The imperative of entreaty is a polite command. 2, salute my friends, kata anama, by name. Salute my friends, kata anama, by name. 3, the Apostle John has excellent manners and thoughtfulness of others. He has excellent manners and thoughtfulness of others. He has the royal family honor code in his soul. 4, there is great friendship love between the Apostle John and Gaius. Great friendship love between the Apostle John and Gaius. So the corrected translation, prosperity and blessing in its widest sense to you, Gaius. The friends salute you and salute my friends by name. Voila, we made it. 3rd John is in the can. When you come next week on Thursday, we will be starting a new book. I love 3rd John. I love 1st John. I love 2nd John. I love 3rd John. I love 4th John, except there isn't one. And we're going to start studying Hebrews. Oh, I have never taught Hebrews. It is phenomenal. The book of Hebrews. We'll start there next Thursday. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.